Do you miss Disneyland? Been closed for a long time, hasn't it? They came up with this ingenious motto, the happiest place on earth. I think I have that on a slide, don't I? There we go. The happiest place on earth. Isn't that a fantastic motto? Do you have a good time when you go to Disneyland, kids? Yeah. No doubt it's fun, but is it the happiest place?
No.
Well, when we go to Disneyland, yeah, we see some happy faces, but we also see some sad faces. I notice some tears and some tantrums, some grumpy parents sometimes, and that's just when I take my family. So, you have the whole range of emotions. But you know, in heaven, that's the true happiest place. There'll be no more tears, no more tantrums, no more grumpiness. That's the true happiest place. A place without sorrow, without tears, without conflict, without groaning. Heaven, the happiest place. Today we're going to continue talking about heaven. We started last week and we were prompted because we've lost so many. And they have crossed over into heaven. And they are celebrating with the Lord right now. So I want to continue talking about heaven a little bit. I shared with you a book, and I don't think I've got a picture of that today, but it's called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. It's a very beautiful read. Wonderful to see how he comes up with what he comes up with. Some people think it's a little imaginative, but he bases it on Scripture. And so I've read at that book. It's 500 pages, so I'll never read it page to page. But it's worth buying and worth reading. Today I want to go back to the passage we started last week. We just looked at part of it. We went phrase by phrase, but I want to show you one more phrase that I didn't emphasize, and that's John 14, verses 1 and 2. John 14, 1 and 2. And I've highlighted the words "for you" twice there. Let me read it again. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, or mansions in the King James. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place. He could have stopped right there. I go to prepare a place. But he specifically says, for you, for you, for you, for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, my disciples, my followers, my people, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, you may be there also. I titled my message today, Heaven, a Home for You. I want to capitalize that word, for you. God is making a heaven with us in mind. We think of heaven as God's home, and rightly so, and the home of angels. We think of heaven being kind of otherworldly, mysterious, and spiritual. But Jesus tells us that he's designing a heaven with us in mind. And he knows what you like and what you don't like. He knows what you need and what you don't need with you in mind. So my outline is very, very simple. And it's in your bulletin, and I'm going to display it so you can't forget it. Point number one, heaven has been created for us. Say that with me. Ready? Heaven has been created for us. Do you believe that? I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is preparing a place. He knows your needs. He knows exactly what you need and what you want. The flip side of this, so this is point two, we have been created for heaven. Say that with me. We have been created for heaven. I'll explain this in a few minutes, but you are a heavenly being. You're already seated in heavenly places with the Lord. So you have been created for heaven. So let's go through these two points. Heaven has been created for us. Look at John 14, 2 again. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is preparing a dwelling place. We're not just going to float. We're going to have a dwelling place that's ours. I like King James. I like mansions. I like that idea of it's going to be better than anything we've ever lived in or could think of living in. This word dwelling place is actually kind of a It also is translated rooms. It carries the idea of warm and cozy kind of place, but not cozy as in small, but cozy as in comfortable and suitable for you. A home right for you. God is preparing a special place for you in heaven. It'll be designed with you in mind. It'll feel like home. Home. Home is the best place, right? When we say home, what comes to your mind? Hopefully, it's positive. I know some people have had wrecks of a home life and have had not such good home life. But hopefully, when we think of home in the best sense, it's a place where we belong. I know I like to take trips, but there's something about getting the nose of that car turned towards home and finally getting there and being able to sleep in your own bed. There's something about home. There's no place like home. Isn't that what Dorothy said? That's how we'll feel when we finally get to heaven. When we finally get there, we'll say, I'm finally home. I've been wandering around as an alien and as an exile in a place that I didn't feel comfortable in. Now I'm finally at home. The Bible refers to heaven as our home. It will not feel like a foreign place, but it'll be a familiar place. That's what home is. We will not feel out of place there. We'll feel at home there. Listen to these verses again. Our scripture reading was 2 Corinthians 5. Let me just read a few of the verses. Verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here are human physical bodies are referred to as an earthly tent. Now, some of you have camped and backpacked, and you've gone through a few tents. They get broken, they get destroyed, and you have to buy a new tent. The emphasis of a tent is that it's temporary. It will eventually be torn down. It'll fall apart, wear out, and specifically our bodies will die. But God will replace that tent with a building. It'll be better. No longer temporary. It says here, eternal in the heavens. This is a promise more of a resurrected body. But if God gives us a resurrected body, he's going to give us a place to live. So we'll have a heaven someday. It's going to be eternal bodies and an eternal home. No more aging, no more hurting, no more sorrow. In the meantime, we're stuck here. 15 or so of our members have moved on. But we are still here. Listen to what we read in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 2. It says, for indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Verse 4, indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. So that which is immortal, that which is mortal, will be swallowed up by life. Do you groan? Do you get up in the morning and go, oh, this back, oh, my body? Now, the young people don't. They spring out of bed and they're happy and strong. But the older our tent gets, the tougher it is to keep it upright. It's falling down. I know off and on when the weather's nice, my wife and I walk, and I go on hikes sometimes, and sometimes I even try to jog. It's not the same now. Not the same at 65 from when I was 25. We are slowing down. We groan. The whole idea is that we are longing for a new body, and God will someday give us that. I'm longing for a resurrected body that'll be strong again. That last phrase, verse 4, says, what is mortal, we're all mortals, aren't we? What is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Instead of going downhill, we're going to be going uphill. We're going to be in the positive sense. We're going to be going towards from death to life. That's what heaven is. Look at verses 6 and 7. Same passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, be always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you understand what's being said here? It says, as long as we're in this body, at home in this body, our spiritual true us is in this body, it's temporary, it's earthly. It's our present condition. We're at home in this body, but it's wearing out. But when we die, it says we'll suddenly be at home with God forever. Look at verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Absent from the body, at home with the Lord. It's instantaneous. It's immediate. Today you'll be with me in paradise, Jesus says to that thief. At home, absent from the body, is to be at home with the Lord. When we die and shed these earthly bodies, we'll suddenly be at home, finally home. When we die, we actually go home to be with the Lord, home. We go home finally. Death is not a hole in the ground. It's a door into heaven. Death is not an end. It's a beginning into heaven. When we think of death, it's from life to death. But the opposite is actually true. When we die, we're going from death, what's mortal, to life. It's the opposite. We're going up, not down. We're passing from this dying world into a living world. We're passing from the shadow lands to our true, bright, new home. We're simply moving from earth, an earthly existence, to a heavenly existence, which is far better, according to Paul. Death is a graduation from groaning to glory. D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, said this. Somebody asked about death. He says, someday you will read in the papers that Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I was born in the flesh in 1837. I was born in the spirit in 1855. That which is born of flesh may die. That which is born of spirit will live forever. That's what we need to remind ourselves. This is not, it's not the end. It's the beginning when we finally pass. We don't want to leave. Paul said, I have this desire to go one way or the other. I need to stay here to minister, but I long to be in heaven, which is far better. I just want us to keep that in mind because we're losing folks all the time. But they're in a better place. That is true. That's what Paul said. That is the assurance we can have that we, when we die, we go home to be with the Lord, and we will live forever. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He says, for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Gain. We think loss. We've lost a loved one. God has gained heaven. I mean, I gained one for heaven. Philippians 1:23, he says, he's torn whether to depart and be with Christ or to stay. But he says, to depart and be with Christ is far better. That's the word he uses. So gain, better. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul was nearing his death. 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote. And he said, the time of my departure has come. Not my death, my departure. Departure from this world, arrival in another world. Peter uses the same expression in 2 Peter 1:15. He says, death is a departure, a departure. Death is not the end. It's a homecoming. So we finally get to say, this feels like home. Let me suggest a few ways, three ways. This is in your outline in the bulletin. That heaven will feel like home. Number one, heaven will be a place of comfort. Comfort. Isn't that what home is? A place where you have you're the most comfortable. You're in your slippers, you're cozy, you love your home. Just as our earthly home is our refuge and a place of rest, a place where we pull away from the craziness of the world, so much more will heaven be. It'll be a place of refuge, a rest, a comfort, a place of peace with no more trouble, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more disappointments. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Now, when you come home after a long day out in the world, whether you work or whatever you do, you come home, you open that door, do you run in and hug your lamp? Do you go in and stroke your couch? Do you give a high five to your TV set as you're pushing on the button? That's not what you do. You look for your loved ones. You go give your spouse a hug. You high five the kids. You have some fun with the family. It's about connecting with people. Heaven's not about how beautiful a place it'll be in golden streets. What's going to make heaven great is we'll be with the Lord. It'll be His embrace. It'll be, you know, we're at home with the Lord, not just at home, home for home's sake. Home without people, without your loved ones, is just a place. But heaven is more than that. We're going to be home with the Lord. So it's a place of comfort where you can really connect. Secondly, it's also a place of celebration. We like to celebrate, don't we? Don't we love to get together with families and have a barbecue and have a party? Do you think there's going to be any kind of fun in heaven? What do you think? Yeah. The earthly home is where we eat, drink, and be merry. I think that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to enjoy life there. If that's what we enjoy here, how much more will we enjoy it there? People often ask, will we be able to eat in heaven? By the way, there's chapters in this book on heaven, answering as best that he can. Randy Alcorn answers these questions. You know, will we know people in heaven? Will we know our loved ones? So that's a worthwhile book. But the eating is kind of interesting. Did Jesus eat with his resurrected body when he came back resurrected? Remember he had a breakfast? Remember the guys were out there fishing? And Jesus says, try the other side. And they catch all these fish and they drag the fish to shore. When they get there, there's a barbecue, there's a fire, and there's fish and there's bread. And Jesus has breakfast with his disciples. Isn't that fantastic? Will we be eating in heaven? Well, I think so. We read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We talk about feasting. Listen to Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. You say, was this about heaven? Well, let's keep reading. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. Verse 8, he will swallow up death for all time. That has to be heaven. Swallowing up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe away the tears from their faces. Isn't that the same we've heard about in Revelation about heaven? And he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Do you enjoy feasting? This just talks about a lavish banquet. It's not going to be a continental breakfast, okay? It's going to be nice. And look who's cooking. It says, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet. Who's the cook? It says God's the cook. Jesus is the cook. He's going to prepare food in the same way he prepared that breakfast for those disciples. He's going to prepare for you the most amazing. You think food's good here? Wait till you get there. It's going to be fantastic. And you won't have to worry about indigestion. Acid reflux, gaining weight, avoiding carbs or calories or diabetes. You can eat because there'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow. It's going to be heavenly. So I think heaven's going to be quite a place of celebration and quite a place of comfort, don't you? I have a third thought. Heaven is a place of companionship. So we've had three C's. Heaven is a place of comfort, celebration, and companionship. Our earthly home is a place where we have relationships with people. We have friends and family. We interact. We care for one another. Likewise, heaven will be a place of growing, loving interaction with other people. Will we know each other? Well, of course we will know each other. We simply change places from earth to heaven. We don't change personalities. It's not like we're all going to be zombies, not knowing anybody. That would not be a very good heaven, would it? You will still be you in heaven, but you'll not have sin. You'll be fully perfected. Your loved ones who are believers will also be there. How do we know this? Well, you get clues from passages in the Bible. Remember the transfiguration where Jesus took some of his disciples to a mountain? And there suddenly appeared Moses and Elijah in physical form. He says, should we build some sort of special tabernacles for Jesus and Moses and Elijah? They saw them physically there. And how did they know who they were? Did they have name tags? there's some sort of knowing that's going to happen in heaven. We're going to know each other. They knew who Moses and Elijah were, even though they had physically never seen these men. They'd lived hundreds of years before. Listen to Matthew 8:11. This verse will sneak up on you here. Ready? I say to you that many will come from the east and west and recline at table. That sounds like feasting, doesn't it? Reclining at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, in heaven. Someday we're going to recline at meal and we're going to know who Abraham is, who Isaac is, who Jacob is. If we know those earliest saints, we'll know all the saints. Won't that be wonderful to hang out with David and ask about his victories and hanging out with the disciples about the miracles? But what I didn't notice is Abraham is a father, Isaac is a son, and Jacob is a son, a grandson. So here you've got a grandfather, a father, and a son all hanging out together. Are we going to know each other? You going to know your children? Abraham knew his son, Isaac, there. Isaac knew Jacob, his son. They reclined together. So yes, I think family, friends, great saints, I think it's going to be fantastic. So that gives me hope. You know, you've lost loved ones. I've lost loved ones. And that gives me hope that someday there'll be a reunion with those. A wonderful reunion in heaven. So right now we can say, he went home to be with the Lord. She went home to be with the Lord. I will someday go home to be with the Lord, and I'll be with them too. That's accurate biblical thinking. Okay, so we've only looked at one point so far. Heaven has been created for us, with us in mind. It's going to be wonderful. It's not going to be foreign, not going to be strange. It's going to be wonderful. But secondly, and this may be harder for us to grasp, so we have been created for heaven. We have been created for heaven. Not only is heaven made for us, but we've been made for heaven. Listen to C.S. Lewis' quote. It's on the front of your bulletin. Your place in heaven will seem to be made for you and for you alone because you were made for it. Did you catch that? You were made for heaven. When you get there, it's going to be like, this is perfect for me. And the quote goes on to say, you were made for it stitch by stitch as a glove was made for a hand. I mean, the way that a glove fits a hand perfectly, he says, you're going to fit in heaven just perfectly. It's just going to seem like it's just the right place for you because you were made for it. One of the verses that helps make this understandable is Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has also set eternity in their hearts. In other words, God has given us a longing for eternity in our hearts. A longing for heaven. We know instinctively that we don't belong here. That there's something better. All cultures seem to know that. They talk about going on to be in some happy hunting ground or something. We all know down deep that there's an eternity. Now, I love the ocean. I've scuba dived. I've snorkeled. So I love going to the aquariums. My favorite school field trip when I lived here in California as a child was Marineland of the Pacific. Does anybody remember that? Yeah, the old timers do. The young people don't because it's been gone. It closed in 1987. 87, it's been gone forever. But as much as I love seeing those sea creatures, I can't help but feel sorry for them being cooped up in a little pool, in a little glass enclosure, swimming circles around to entertain humans. Do you ever wonder if these huge whales and these sharks instinctively know they don't belong here? They belong somewhere else. They long for the sea. Likewise, God has given us as humans longings for something else. We live here, we circle it, and we live, but we know that there's something beyond these walls, the walls of this world. We know there's something better. We have an instinct that there's life after death because God has put eternity in our hearts. An eternal longing. We long for heaven because we belong there. We long for heaven because we belong there. We are citizens of heaven if we're Christians. And we long for God because he's our creator. Right now we're being held captive in this fallen world. We're swimming in circles, trying to escape, longing to escape, a longing for our true final home. You know, people move a lot. We just found out another family in our church is moving to another state. We've had several move out of state. They never really feel quite settled where we're at, do we? Sometimes we long for a better place. We're looking for the perfect home. We're looking for paradise, the perfect neighborhood, the perfect weather, the perfect politics. So we move from home to home, to state to state. Well, I have a theory that people are always going to be moving because they're looking for paradise on earth and they're not going to find it. They think it's going to be nicer there. The grass will be greener there. The weather will be better. The politics will be better. And they get there and they only find other things to disappoint. This world is full of disappointments. The only real paradise, Jesus called it paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. The only real paradise is in heaven. Listen to Hebrews 11, verse 13. Referring to the Old Testament saints, we read, they were strangers and exiles on the earth. We are strangers. We are exiles on this earth. That's us. They were seeking a country of their own. This is specifically talking about Abraham and Sarah, how they left Ur to come to a promised land. And when they got there, they didn't really settle. They just kind of kept looking for the right spot. They were strangers in the world, exiles, out of place. They were in the world, but not of this world. They didn't feel at home because God has really given them a longing for something even better than anything they can find here, a true home, a true destiny. Remember that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." We're longing to go somewhere else. We're built for heaven. This fallen world is not our home. We're strangers, aliens, pilgrims, ambassadors. Our true citizenship is in heaven. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If you think this is it, you're missing something. He says, "Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Continuing in Hebrews 11, verse 16. "But as it is," now listen to this verse, it's in your bulletin too. "They desire a better country." I've heard people say, it's all this politics, I'd rather go to a different country to live. Well, these people desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." What was my first point? God has prepared heaven for you. And God has prepared you for longing for that better place. He has prepared a city for them. They long for a heavenly city. Last week, we learned about the heavenly city. It's called New Jerusalem, where it's going to be beyond unbelievably beautiful and wonderful. And Jesus will abide with us. He says the abode of God and man will be together. They will dwell together. And that's the good news, is God has prepared a place for us. And we're going to go there someday. So John 14, 1, "I go to prepare a place for you." It sounds an awful lot like that last phrase. He has prepared a city for them. This is true. Heaven is a wonderful place. God is preparing heaven for us. And he's preparing us for heaven. That's my main 2 points I wanted to share today. One time a man was watching a builder building a rock cathedral. He was chiseling and chiseling away at the stone that was going to be up at the very peak of the cathedral. And the onlooker says, "Why are you spending so much time on that? It's going to be so high up there, no one's going to see it. It's way up there on the top." He says, "I'm shaping it down here so it will fit up there. I'm shaping it down here so it'll fit up there." God is shaping you. He's chiseling away. It may be trials and tribulations, maybe hardship. God is preparing you here so you'll fit up there like a hand and a glove together. You're made for heaven, and heaven's made for you. And the day will come when we'll be there. Only if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ. Only if you've given your life to him. I wish I could say this was just everybody gets to go to heaven, but that's also in the Bible very clearly defined. that only those who have trusted Jesus Christ get to go to that wonderful heavenly city. And I hope you've trusted Christ. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you that you're preparing heaven for us. Even now, you know exactly what's going to meet our needs, going to fulfill us. Mostly, Lord, it'll be that we can be with you. We can run into your arms, be embraced. We're finally home. Lord, we know that you're preparing us for heaven. Lord, help us to submit and allow you to do your work in us as we prepare down here to fit up there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.